live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We've got a lot to get into here today on the show. It is Wednesday, even though it feels like Tuesday to me because I was gone Monday. Trying to get everything back in order here. Last night was SmackDown. I do know that. I watched the show. If you want to talk about that today, you're welcome to do so. We got Raw ratings from this past Monday night. Historic record low for Raw. Football smashing them. So, talking a couple of weeks ago about how, you know, maybe we're down to the hardcores and football's not going to take such a bite out of wrestling. I was wrong. 2.28 million viewers for the second and third hours. My Lord. We can talk about ratings. The update on Liv Morgan. On Monday night, I was watching Raw, and I just sent out a tweet about Liv Morgan. And here we are, it's Wednesday. Nearly a million impressions for this tweet. It's the most impressions I've ever got for a tweet by, and it's probably four times my usual top tweet for the month. So it struck a nerve with a lot of people, suffice to say. So we're going to give you the update on Liv Morgan here today, tell you how she is doing. We got updates on all of the shows coming up tonight. There's 205 Live, there's NXT, and there is the Mae Young Classic. So we can talk about all of that. SmackDown, of course. I'll be covering SmackDown in depth this afternoon with Filthy Tom Lawler. We got a lot to talk about here today. So if you want to talk about that, or, hey, here's another one. Last night, Brian, Vinny, and Craig show, we reviewed This Is Your Life, Rock. I gave it 2 3/4 stars. I woke up this morning, some good friends sent some terrible texts to me about that rating. What do you think? Have you watched it lately? If you've watched This Is Your Life, Rock, how would you rate it on a 5-star scale watching back here today? We'll talk about that and so much more here today. Going to be a fun time. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. You don't gotta go to work, but you gotta put in work. You don't gotta go to
work. This online bank was foreclosing on us. They even had documents that I signed for a home equity loan, only I didn't. What a nightmare.
She's the victim of a devastating crime called mortgage fraud. Your home's title and mortgage are kept online, where thieves, foreign and domestic, hack them. It's simple. They forge your title and borrow every penny of equity you have in your home, like this police officer.
I know about title fraud, so I registered with Home Title Lock and discovered some thief had already taken over title. Thank God I found out in time.
No bank, identity theft program, or insurance protects you. Home Title Lock will. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title and mortgage. The instant it detects tampering, they're on it, helping to shut it down. Find out if you're already a victim of title fraud. Get your $100 search free with sign up. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit, and 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Jorge here just sent me a tweet. What a way to open up the show here today. It's from Bully Ray. He says, other than the shattered ankle, all these injuries came at the hands of my coworkers. I never once held a grudge. It ain't ballet. Accidents happen. It comes with the territory. We are warriors. Rub some dirt on it, rest up, and make the next town. Be a pro. Wisdom. Brilliant wisdom. Straight out of the 90s. Hey, Liv, you got a concussion. Just rub some dirt on it and make the next town. That's a great idea.
Well,
that's what he said.
Can you rub dirt on your brain?
He said make the next town. Listen, Liv should not be making the next town. She shouldn't be making any towns until her brain is healed. For those of you unaware, Liv Morgan did in fact suffer a concussion on Monday. She appeared knocked out likely by the first kick and in slumping fell into a second kick. She was out of the match quickly, did return for a triple suplex spot. Those backstage reported she was okay, but WWE officials reported a concussion. She'll be out of action until she passes impact testing procedures. There is no way to estimate a time frame for that. They've been building up to a Morgan, Ruby Wright, and Sarah Logan versus Rousey and the Bellas. Six-woman tag at the Super Showdown on October 6th. So, that's a story on Liv Morgan. Still mad about it. I was overheating on Monday night. I was so hot. Like, I was just sweating everywhere as I watched that animated GIF over and over again because I watched the show on the West Coast feed. So I saw this before I saw it. That makes
and
any
San
sense.
Antonio also was in a cold sweat watching it.
Just furious. I just couldn't even believe what I was watching. The idiot referee. I mean that in the nicest way possible. The idiot referee. The idiot doctor. Happened to be Chris Amon. There's another one.
The idiot headphones, the idiot gorilla position. I mean, look, I talked about it on the show yesterday. I'm not sure how many people actually heard that or not, but the pushback against, number one, the pushback against Liv as if she was not in position to take the kick. Let's just obviously throw that one out the window is the most idiotic thing said in the last couple of days about the entire situation. But Brie, obviously, you know, she's going, and she is not super seasoned vet, and even if she was, in the heat of the moment, I'm not even going to blame her for taking her and flipping her over and then dragging her in the corner. I know, and you know what? You're right, but the reality is, I mean, what do you have a referee with a
stop the match?
In? Exactly. Why is he not doing it? Then why is somebody not screaming in his ear? Then why is somebody not doing it on the outside because they're there and they can overrule the person in the back who made it? I mean, that's where the breakdown, if there's any silver lining in this, is two things. One, Liv, as of now, you know, obviously things linger forever. She's okay. She seems to be okay. That's number one. But number two,
we don't know that. She's got a concussion.
We don't know that. You're absolutely right. And this could end her career, you know, in theory. But let's try to think positive about this right now. She's not suffering worse effects other than a concussion. I'm not trying to downplay that, but there it is. The other the only possible positive they make out of this is the communications breakdown and the way you go about things and what protocol is obviously needs to change. It needs to be updated. It needs to be something's got to give there, because we've seen them stop matches in the past on more than one occasion on national TV when it deals with stars. So obviously there was a slip up here. It needs to be fixed up. And if there's any positive that comes from this, is they start to like dot those I's and cross those T's.
Okay, give me a moment here. Listen, everybody.
Your show. You got the
whole rest of it. If you're a professional wrestler, I can't believe I'm having to explain this. If you're in the ring with somebody and you knock them out, stop. Don't touch them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't touch them. Don't turn them over. Don't drag them to their corner. Don't touch them. Stop. That's number one. Number two, if you're the referee. Dude, in mixed martial arts, if someone gets knocked out, the referee stops the fight. Why is a referee in a fake professional wrestling match not stopping the match when somebody gets knocked out? If somebody gets knocked out, stop the match. It's over. Okay? So if the ref doesn't stop the match and the girl gets dragged to the corner and Mike Sempervivi's phone's going crazy.
They're blowing me up right now.
And she ends up on the floor outside and you're the doctor, okay? First off, you should be trying to get the match stopped.
For real.
Second off, don't let the performer get back in the ring.
Was this
Akam that was trying to get back in the ring and Chris Amon was unable to stop him from getting back in the ring because he's 300 pounds? No, it's Liv Morgan.
But
don't, hold on.
Go.
Don't let her get back in the ring.
But Brian,
there's a referee. Don't let her get back in the ring. This is common sense. But it wasn't apparently on Monday night. Everybody's just like, oh, well, you know, we can just throw her ass out of the ring, and then everyone else can keep doing the match here, and we'll just keep her laying outside, and what's going on here? This is common sense. I don't even want to hear about, and listen, I'm the first guy to defend referees. I am the first guy.
I forgot about your record of defending referees.
I am. You know what? I've said this a million times. When there's a finish in the UFC that everybody starts crying about how late it was, and they go back and they watch 85 replays, and they deconstruct it for 24 hours, and they're yelling at the referee. It's like, listen, you numbskulls had 24 hours and a DVR and time on your hands, okay? He had a split second to make a decision, okay? He probably made the wrong decision, but you know what? That's all the time that he had. I'm sure he watches the thing back, and he goes, you know what? I made a mistake, all right? This is not that. This is not that. She was knocked out and slumped and dead in the middle of the ring. The rest just standing there twiddling his thumbs. What are you doing, dude? I was disgusted on Monday. Disgusted by this.
Look, maybe for Dr. Amon, the multiple person suplex spot is just his favorite spot. He had to let her back.
It's not what it was.
That very important move there. I know you're battering Brie too, and I know she deserves blame in this, especially with the picking up and dragging her to the ropes. But the initial flipping her over, I don't know if she actually knew. She knew she hit her, but I don't think she knew she knocked her out.
Well, she did. She looked down at her. She like backs up. She stops. She looks down at her, and she like nudges her a little bit, and like it's a dead body, and then she still turned her over. I've watched it 100 times.
I say this like this is a Pruder film because you got that kind of time on your hands. But with the referee, it's not that he was twiddling his thumbs. It's just that he was sitting there with his jaw hanging open. And again, who the hell is supposed to be in his ear? And also, I mean, that whole thing was a train wreck as well, too, because twice Michael Cole's talking about the fact they've taken her to the back and she's laying on the ground like a hunk of garbage in the background of the screen. And for those people who are unaware of who those dudes are around her, may have no idea that, you know, they're actual doctors and they're going to remove the back part of the security railing and they're going to take her out that way. People are probably wondering what the hell she was still doing slumped over there.
All right, let's go back to these Raw ratings here. So if you didn't see them yesterday,
also slumped over.
Mike, I guess, didn't talk about them because they hadn't come out yet.
No.
The total audience, 2.35 million viewers. The previous Modern Low era audience, 2.46 on July 9th. The September 26, 2016 Raw, which went up against the Clinton-Trump debate, which I think did 100 million viewers, 2.46 million viewers. They dropped lower than that. The big drop was from hour one to hour two from males over 50. That's their... Listen, for those of you that don't understand this, Raw's audience right now, their main audience is men over 50. It's not 25 to 34-year-olds. It's not kids. It's not teenagers. It's old men. I say that as a man who's an old man. 50-plus is their regular, their prime audience. They quit after the first hour. Now, granted, they were probably watching football. The game did 12 million viewers. Big Bang Theory, 12.92 million viewers. Raw still beat practically everything else on cable. But 2.49, 2.28, 2.28. Going to be a rough fall. Back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to do texts here. I got 1,000 of them.
1,000.
You'll never guess what they're all about. No calls today. We got Chris Daniels coming on here in about 15 minutes. This person says, I feel like Bree tries too hard imitating Daniel Bryan's style, which is stiff and technical. He has trained in kickboxing, all sorts of stuff for years. With not having the experience or proper training, get what happened to Liv Morgan or bad-looking kicks like The Miz. I will say this. People have been way too hard on Bree. She definitely messed up. She shouldn't have been doing those kicks. And if you watch, she's staring at the heel corner when she's throwing kicks. She's not even looking at her opponent. So, and she absolutely should not have turned her over. So I'm pretty mad about that. But there have been a lot of people that have accidentally hurt their opponents, and nobody is calling for all of them to get fired. Although I may have called for Jinder to get fired when he nearly killed Finn Balor. Maybe I did. I don't remember. Point of this is one of those things that drives me crazy as a wrestler, because the whole idea is, what are you good at and what can you do right? You train. You do some matches, you find out what you're good at, and you keep doing that, and you find out what you just can't do, and you don't do it. You take it out of your repertoire.
Well, maybe now she knows.
I bet you anything she keeps doing kicks. Thing is,
dives through the ropes?
With her and with Miz, it's like somebody came up with the idea that one's feuding with Daniel Bryan, one's married to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is over, so Miz the heel will use his moves and get heat, and Brie his wife will use his moves and she'll get over. But as this person's noted here, neither of the other two can do the moves like Daniel Bryan. They shouldn't be doing these moves. Miz trying the yes kicks, they're terrible. The drop kick in the corner, it's terrible. The running knee, it's terrible. Like, there are things that Miz can do well. So do those things. Brie should not be doing Daniel Bryan dives through the ropes, nor should she be doing Daniel Bryan yes kicks. She should be doing what she can do well. And then she can go in there and have decent matches. Maybe even good matches.
Okay. So you're so angry about Miz using those moves. Like they're
yeah, because they don't even look good. Like, if they look good, great. Use it to get heat. They look fake.
So what type of offense should Brie be using then? If it's not her husband's, that at least will be something that people in the crowd can latch onto and directly grasp at. I mean, so what offense should she be using?
I have no idea what Brie does. I haven't seen her wrestle in a long time. But I'm sure that there are things that Brie can do where she won't hurt herself or her opponent.
Handspring elbow?
Sure, maybe. I don't remember what she used to do. I could go back and watch matches and tell you what she does that looks good, but I'm sure there are things that she does that look good.
Doing the jits, okay? What can you do? Because you are a teacher. She just walks. You got to give her something. She needs something desperately right away. What can you teach her to try to give her something where she doesn't kill someone or herself?
A sleeper hold.
Just a traditional sleeper?
You can't mess that up. You can get listen, you can get anything over. John Cena got a Death Valley driver over, which isn't even a Death Valley driver. He just tips him over. He got that over. Rock got an elbow over. Muda got an elbow over. You understand? Cody Rhodes got a dog over, okay? You can get anything over. You don't have to do...
The dog didn't even have to come out of a box.
You don't have to do something crazy. This person here says, how can WWE get all that money from Fox and have ratings that don't pass 3 million? Is that considered a high rating in 2018? Yes.
Yeah, look at TV ratings.
Yes. Raw was the highest rated thing on cable, if I recall correctly.
And live.
And it still did a terrible number. Person wants to know when you're going to upload yesterday's Observer Live.
I want to get it.
All right. This person says, Becky, 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 need I say more? I said it all, and now we're in this weird situation where I'm telling everybody what's actually happening, and they're now trying to tell me that it's not happening, which was the other way around for a while. I was telling you that she was supposed to be a babyface, but in fact, I was wrong about that, okay? But now I'm telling you something that is not an opinion, it's an objective fact, and that is she's less over now than she was before or immediately after SummerSlam. So whatever brilliant idea the road dog has been defending on Twitter, it ain't working. Like, yeah, she got cheered last night, but she got cheered, and then they did the match, and the crowd just watched it, and then she won, and they played her music really loud. And there were not overwhelming babyface Becky chants. They were effectively killing off whatever they had with her. But hey, they want her to be a heel, so good for them. Person says, I can tell you I didn't watch the second and third hour of Raw because the football game got good. Well, there you go. There you go.
Well, we got, well, yeah, it did get good. Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay trying to rally back there at the end, but still, that didn't, that should not matter. I know it's going to affect some people, especially the ones that are listening to this program or sports fans, but in as a whole right now, that's not, look, there were so many things down on Monday night. I mean, Love and Hip Hop is one of the highest rated shows on TV. That was down. All of the network shows, for the most part, were way down. There were debuts like that were well hyped, like Magnum PI, the reboot of that, that completely fell flat. So I we'll have to see next Monday to see if any of these patterns stay. If they do, then we've got a really interesting thing across TV for the fall season and obviously moving forward with technology. But if everything's back to normal again, which is very much possible, then I you know, we'll just be shrugging this off. Frankly, the same way we've shrugged off every other rating, no matter how excited we get in the moment about it.
Per says, house shows in Canada are advertising the Riot Squad versus Ember Moon, Bayley, and Sasha. Well, that means nothing. If Liv can't pass impact testing, she's not going to be there. That's it.
Card subject to change.
This person here says, if I can just say, Liv Morgan is a lot tougher than I thought. Reviving from those kicks and finishing a match. Yes, that's she is very tough, okay?
You're not getting a date.
But Paul Orndorff, as Dave has mentioned on Observer Radio, is suffering from dementia. And I'm sure that it doesn't make him or his family feel better when people say, you know, he was a tough guy. He was a really tough guy. First says she should just go back to Brie mode. What's Brie mode? All I remember is from Total Divas, heavy drinking. That was Brie mode.
Actually, would be a great gimmick. Brie mode now? It's part of the song.
Yeah, it is part of the song. This person here says, bad girl Becky is pretty awesome. This is much better than Becky Balboa. Actually, it's not. But judging from the crowd reactions, it's not.
No, she's great. Look, she's great doing all of this stuff, but we knew that. And the problem is, for their average, the regular WWE fan, they have confused them. I mean, it's that simple. It's not like everyone hates Becky or now everyone hates Charlotte. You know, Becky, and I got to listen to the interview with Lillian Garcia that she did where she talks about the fact that, you know, they knew it. She knew it immediately. They knew it immediately that this isn't going to work in the form that it is of, you know, turning on the fans and doing the traditional cheap way they usually do things. They're going to actually have to add layers to it. We'll see if they do.
Layers.
But the
I
fact of the matter
word.
Is they've confused part of their base because you can tell by the reactions that she gets.
I hate that term, layers. They don't even understand how to add a layer to a story. They can't tell a story to save their lives, for crying out loud.
Bill Watts had layers. I know.
Sure, a lot of guys did. A lot of great storytellers.
The bookers did.
Had
bookers,
layers.
If you had to, did.
These are not layers.
No, these are 2018 layers.
And you know what this is?
Right now.
You know what this is? I know people hate when I make this comparison because, yes, Becky is not Stone Cold Steve Austin, all right? But Stone Cold Steve Austin turned heel, and you know who is a really, really good heel? Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know what? The fans didn't want to see it. And it was business death when he was a heel. So, yeah, Becky is very good at this role. It's not what the fans want to see. The fans told them what they wanted to see. And the company decided to do something different. And it's her. That's an objective fact. I watch every single show. I had some guy on the board arguing with me about this. And he's admitting he doesn't even watch the shows.
That's good.
Why do you bother, everybody? Why? I don't understand that. Well, you know, I don't watch the show, but you're wrong.
2018. These are 2018 layers.
Dude. First says, my brother is a very casual wrestling viewer that only watches the big three. Yesterday, he texted me baffled that R-Truth is still wrestling. What?
R-Truth was being a heel.
R-Truth was the highlight of SmackDown last night. He was the best thing on the show. R-Truth and Carmella, first off, I can't believe that Carmella's been on the chopping block and chopped like 8 times. She's great now. Why? Well, she's not wrestling, and she's hanging out with Truth, and they're doing their 7-second dance routine in the middle of Truth TV, which was the best segment on SmackDown in forever. And what do they do? They end it.
Well, she was great before. It's just that she, you know, again, for what she was doing, you know, no, the personality stuff she's doing now, fantastic. I don't know about the hair, but you know what? Now she doesn't look like the other Carmella.
Hey, there was a lot of good stuff on SmackDown last night. I'm going to talk about it with Filthy Tom. I got to mention two things quickly. The Samoa Joe AJ Styles thing absolutely completely sucked. It just absolutely sucked. It's corny. Impossible to believe. It's ridiculous.
His name is Styles on the mailbox.
It's so dumb. It was so dumb. And I love Joe and I love AJ. It was dumb. What was great, I like what they're doing with Aiden, Lana, and Rusev. That's a good cliffhanger in a story.
God.
But you know what's funny? I don't know if this is going to play into the storyline, but I did some research. Do you know when they were last in Milwaukee?
First quarter of the year? I don't know.
I don't remember the exact date, but it was like October 12, 2017. It was the first 2 weeks of October 2017, okay?
That's last year, all right.
That's the last time they were in Milwaukee. Guess who wasn't even on that show?
Lana and Rusev?
All of them. Lana, Rusev, and Aiden, none of them were on the show in Milwaukee.
Well,
and the most recent show since then was a Raw show, and they were not in there.
Maybe that's the story.
I wonder if that is a story. Aiden's got some proof of some sort next week. Back in a moment with Chris Daniels, Wrestling Observer Live.
And I'm bound to keep on.
You've seen him on national television. You've heard him on national radio. Kevin Todd, president and CEO of thesportsbrokers.com, is releasing his underdog game of the month. The wrong team is favored. It's yours absolutely free. Call now, 800-220-6262. The line on this game is off by 10 to 14 points. Start your football season on a winning note. There's no one better against the spread than Kevin Todd. Become part of Kevin Todd's inner circle and you'll have access to his upset specials. Dogs winning outright. Favorites running away to win by 3 to 4 touchdowns. Let him earn your business. Let thesportsbrokers.com show you how to win consistently. Call now and get today's underdog winner outright. 800-220-6262. Absolutely free. Kevin Todd is the nation's number one sports handicapper. He's the professional the professionals turn to. It's yours absolutely free at 800-220-6262. That's 800-220-6262. Kevin Todd turns outcomes into incomes. Call now. 800-220-6262.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, joined today by Christopher Daniels. We got Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, so much to talk about today. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
47 years old. Can you believe it? I can't believe it.
48.
What? 48? Oh, that's right. Your Wikipedia is all messed up.
Yeah, that was a UPW snafu that never got fixed.
I remember that.
Didn't have my birthday right, and they never fixed it. So
yeah,
48.
Yeah, you told me this years ago, and I messed it up again.
How old do you feel? Because you look like you're 24 in the ring. I mean, it's no joke, not buttering you up. You're still super smooth as hell. You know this. How do you feel?
It depends on what part of my body you ask. My head says like 19, and my knees say like 74.
Oh,
so it all evens out. It all evens out.
You know, I brought up your age because I was just watching SmackDown last night, and to me, the star of the show was Ron Killings, who's 46 years old.
Yeah.
And when I thought you were 47, when he turns 47, you'll both be the same age. And I thought, look at these two guys. They're unbelievable. They don't look as old as they are. They work great. I was really impressed with Truth. And then I thought about your match with Stephen Amell and still going strong after all these years. And a chance, Friday, Chris, to become a champion for Ring of Honor.
One more time. Yeah, man.
That's right.
Briscoe's Addiction. You know, we've been there for 4 years, and the Briscoes and Frankie and myself have only wrestled team versus team 4 times, which is incredible.
It is incredible.
For the tag titles, though. So it's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a good one.
It's incredible because you see the match, the Briscoes versus the Addiction, and the first thing your brain says is, I feel like I've seen this match like 1,000 times. But the reality is that you haven't. You know what I mean? It's just... I don't know.
How familiar everything is.
I think there are just some matches like that where people have been in the same promotion for so long. And in WWE, for example, like so many people have been there for so long that you feel like you've seen every match 1,000 times. But there are matches that actually have never taken place, and it makes no sense. So I guess, Chris, the first question for you is, besides the Briscoes match here, I mean, is there anybody else in Ring of Honor, or I guess when you were in Impact for all those years, that for some reason you guys were just in the company forever and you never had a match or only had a few matches?
Yeah, there's a couple guys in Ring of Honor that I haven't done any singles matches with. I've never wrestled like Silas Young, for example. We've never even really been – we've been in one tag match and then a couple of like multi-man matches, but never one-on-one, which is sort of incredible to think. Jake Briscoe and I have only wrestled each other singles twice.
Wow.
In the 15 years, no, I've known him longer than 15 years because I met him in ECWA before Ring of Honor even started. So I've known him for almost, more than a decade and a half, and I've only wrestled in 2 singles matches. So, I mean, yeah, it's just weird, man. It's funny. And then you look at the other people that you feel like you've been in the ring 1,000 times with, and there are some guys that are on that end of the spectrum and some guys like us and the Briscoes that we've only tangled a couple times. So, but yeah, man, it's strange how that goes, but such is the wrestling business.
That's right.
It's amazing. You just mentioned that. It just made me think about the fact you basically have known the Briscoes since they were in high school, just about high school from the time that they started,
man.
Way back when.
Yeah. When they started for Jim Kettner's ECWA, literally just young teenagers to see what they've become in that time period and how they've changed and matured and become just two of the best wrestlers that Ring of Honor's ever had. And it's incredible to know where they came from and where they are now.
And they're not young kids anymore. Jay's 34 years old. Unless his Wikipedia is messed up too, which is very possible.
The most famous two people to ever come out of where they're at.
That's right. That happens.
Right, right.
Aberdeen, for crying out loud.
Not Bryan, Aberdeen. Say it E4.
No, I'm talking Daniel Bryan and Kurt Cobain came out of Aberdeen. And
oh,
trust
God.
Me, nobody else ever did. I can tell you that right now as a Washingtonian. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Stephen Amell match before we go back to Ring of Honor here, because I was there live, and it was an amazing weekend and an amazing show. And was it your goal or Stephen Amell's goal to have the greatest celebrity match of all time?
We both had it. We both had it, and I knew going in that it was going to be within our reach to have the best celebrity match. Just because, and I said this a couple times in promoting the match itself. Steven's probably the most gifted, athletically the most gifted celebrity that I've ever seen get in the wrestling ring. That's had matches. I mean, there have been guys that have gone in and you know, done little spots once or twice, but I mean, the stuff Steven is capable of doing was incredible. And the stuff he was willing to do. And so I knew that if, you know, as long as we, you know, had our head on our shoulders, we were going to out there and do well. And I was really happy with the end result. And I know Steven was. And it was just a perfect setting for it as well, man. There are some places that don't take to celebrities very well. And Chicago was a good place for Steven.
Man, that crowd was going to take well to anything. Like, he could have been in there with Jenna Maraska, and they would have been into that match.
I don't know about that. That might not have gone as well as you might have thought. But
I wouldn't have thought it would have gone well. So you would have overachieved.
Yeah, man. That crowd was, like you said, they were primed and ready for everything. You know, just a testament to how popular the Bucks and Cody and the whole build of the show was. The whole weekend was an incredible, I guess they've been calling it a love letter to independent wrestling. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty spot on.
Now, when you go in there with a Stephen Amell, I mean, there's kind of two schools of thought, I guess. There may be more, but when you're putting a match together, you can either go in there and just have the mindset of, we're going to just keep this really simple and we're not going to do anything that can get messed up. And we're just going to try to put together maybe a smoke and mirrors type of match or whatever, but like nothing. It's just going to be a celebrity match. And then there's the other school of thought where I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do everything that I would do with any other wrestler. And we're going to work it like he is a wrestler and has been wrestling for a long time. We're going to do a bunch of spots. And it seems like you chose like plan B. And I guess what was your mindset going in? Why did you choose that? And how did this match come together?
Well, honestly, I sort of took the middle ground on both of those mindsets, you know, because I understood that Steven, despite being gung-ho and wanting to do anything and everything that I asked him to do, I understood, too, that, you know, Stephen Amell's not just Stephen Amell. He's the lead of a show where there's hundreds of cast and crew that depend on him being there, and I didn't want to do anything that was going to jeopardize the show or the jobs of these people. So, I mean, there were things that I knew that, you know, as guys that are wrestlers, we take for granted, like just taking back bumps, you know what I mean? But I understood that Steven wasn't, you know, he didn't have that full body callus that all pro wrestlers have. And I knew if there was like, you know, if he had to take like a bunch of back bumps in a row, I knew that was going to either knock the wind out of him or really rattle him in terms of like his neck and his shoulders. So, I mean, I tried to work the match where we did a lot of stuff where he didn't have to fall to his back. He didn't have to take a whole lot of bumps. It was all stuff that he was taking on his front. And then the rest of it, as far as like his offense, I really just sort of let him do what he wanted to do. You know, the idea of going through a table and the idea of doing the coast-to-coast dropkick. Those are all things that he was willing to do and volunteered to do. So I was like, you know, you've seen some of the stuff that I've done. I'm willing to do anything and everything.
Yeah, I'll
I was
say.
Really letting him go what he wants to do and you know, the rest of it be damned, to be honest with you.
Well, the thing to me was, I mean, you've been doing this for 25 years. Is that right? 25 years, about
yep.
that? So, I mean,
yes, sir.
the one thing that you actually, you would think that you would take for granted is actually running spots. Like, you've had to remember and run so many spots over 25 years that I'm sure it's probably nothing to you. But for somebody who has never wrestled before, I mean, even like a three-spot sequence, to me it's sort of like, that could be very daunting for a person. And you are in there running spots with him. So that's what really impressed me about the match.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I it's the same thing. It's like we said, like anybody that's ever been in the ring, like you take for granted that guys are going to be able to remember one or two things in a row or just the mentality of going to the position or part of the ring that you need him to be in for what's coming next. And, you know, as gifted physically as Steven is, he didn't have that natural instinct that we all sort of hone over the course of our careers. You know what I mean? Like after a certain period of time, you get that ring comfortable, or that ring comfort where you know where to go, you know where to sell, you know where to roll to, where you need to be. And Steven just wasn't going to get that. He wasn't going to get that in, no matter how often he had the opportunity to train, you know, in between doing his show, he wasn't going to get that overnight. So, I mean, that was one of the things that I had to sort of put into account, was the idea that I needed to put him where I needed to put him, or where I needed him. And I needed to be able to communicate what was coming next, because, you know, that, it was just that, you know, it was the, I said it a couple of times, he jumped in the deep end. And so he wasn't going to, you know, have that mentality that most pro wrestlers would have. So, but it all worked out, man. I mean, in the end, I was thrilled with the way it went. And, the reaction, I think the feedback that we got after the match, you know, said it all for me.
I got to talk about the ROH feud from, God, it was only like a year and a half ago or so. It seems like so much longer, but when you won the Ring of Honor title and the storyline leading to that, it was very strange because it was a great storyline, but the storyline was sort of like you were nearing the end of your career and you were an older wrestler and like this was your opportunity, and it was such a great story. You did such a great job with it. But there was that thing in the back of my mind, which was sort of like, I don't believe this is an old man. You know what I mean? Like, this is Chris Daniels. He's going to be doing this till he's like 100. It totally worked. But then, like, when it was over, now you're not that old man anymore.
Yeah, you're not riding off into some sunset. Get back here.
Yeah, it's I don't even know what I'm trying to say here, but I wanted to tell you that I thought that storyline was so great. But now here you are, and you're, you know, you may be winning the tag titles this weekend. Who even knows? But I mean, you're certainly not that old man, but you were able to make people believe that you were like Terry Funk, and like this was your last hurrah here to win this title.
Well, I mean, it's funny. We never know when the last match is going to be, and I've been really fortunate in terms of my health and the opportunities that I've had in terms of the companies I've worked for. So, I mean, yeah, we sort of told that story with the idea that it could possibly be the last hurrah for me. But I mean, you know, every day I wake up and I think, oh man, I'm feeling pretty good. I can still do this stuff and I can still get in the ring with guys like Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe and perform at a certain level. I don't ever want to take that for granted. And so I'm going to keep trying to, you know, put on those matches and steal the show as often as I can. And, you know, we had the benefit of all the failures that I had to become world champion from 2002 and 2006 and 2010. And, you know, when those matches were being booked, we had no idea that in 2017, the 15th anniversary, it was going to come. And
exactly. Well, actually, stand by. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. That's 800-598-0539.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Chris Daniels joining us here today. This coming Friday, Ring of Honor on pay-per-view, Death Before Dishonor 15. Daniels and Kazarian versus the Briscoes for the ROH Tag Team titles. The Bullet Club versus Chaos. Cody, Marty Scurll, Adam Page, and Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson versus Okada, Chucky T, Beretta, Rocky Romero, and Ishii. That is the main event of the show. You can check it out on pay-per-view, Honor Club, all sorts of different ways. And Chris, let's get some plugs in for yourself and everything else.
Okay, man. What are you looking for? Twitter is at FAC Daniels. Instagram is at FA Christopher Daniels, because FAC Daniels was taken by some rogue. Yeah, man. That's everything else. ROHWrestling.com. You get all the info to see Death Before Dishonor and watch me and Frankie win our third tag team titles.
That's right.
It'll be our fifth tag team titles, but our third Ring of Honor tag team titles.
That's right. And I can't put it over Honor Club. I've got it on Apple TV. It streams great. It looks great. It's so easy. So check that out, Honor Club. And pin at the top of Chris Daniels' Twitter, every month he's picking a random customer from his pro wrestling tee store and sending an autographed ROH DVD to say thanks. So check out his pro wrestling tees store. All of that is up there on Chris's Twitter, at FAC Daniels. Fallen angel after all these years, Chris Daniels. And Chris, I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today. Best of luck this weekend. Good luck. And, of course, we're out of time, everybody. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live.